So we pray that everything we do today would be to the honor, praise, glory, dominion, and power of our Lord Jesus. May his name be held high, and may he be held high in our hearts. And Lord, as we worship you today and you fill our tanks, recharge our batteries, we pray that we might go out into the world and run well. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. We're reading today from Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 to 4. The race of faith, my Bible entitles it. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. May God bless this word to us this morning.
Well, Jen Digno is pastor of Cebu City Fundamental Bible Church, and right now he would be preaching to his church, as I indicated in prayer. And so the preaching that we have for you comes by recording. There might be a few pauses in there. Don't worry. That's okay. We'll move through this today. And at the end, there's a surprise. I won't tell you what that is right now. Maybe I've indicated other times, but at the end of the message, this is a surprise. I trust that you enjoy that too. And then after all that, after Jan's prayed, we'll come back and we'll sing together to close the service today. But we're looking forward to when Jan and CU can be with us in Australia. Lord willing, that'll be within the next 12 months.
My dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, I bring you greetings all the way from the Philippines. From my home to your homes, I pray that you are all blessed and graced by God's strength and joy and peace. Before we dive into the Word of God this morning, I would like to share with you four things. The first is I want to thank all of you for praying for me and my family in the passing on of my grandmother Thelma. Since there are strict travel restrictions due to the COVID-19 scenario, all of us who either live outside the country or in another island here in the Philippines will not be able to come home. God strengthens us though through your prayers and the reality that my dear grandmother, whom I love so much, is now with our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Second, we are excited to serve the Lord with you. Each day that passes, our anticipation increases, and we wait for God's perfect time to finally be with you and serve you, and at the same time, reach out to the community that God has given to Central Mountains Baptist Church. The third is that please know that we are all praying for you. I thank Pastor Wayne for keeping me abreast through emails onto what the Lord is doing through you all and in you all. Rest assured that from a distance, we are all praying for you. You are all in our hearts. And number four, I am thankful to God for this privilege to preach the Word of God in our midst. We all believe that the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, and I do not take this opportunity lightly. I do it with much dependence on the Holy Spirit and for the glory of God, and of course, for our edification. And so thank you, Pastor Rain, for giving me this wonderful opportunity to be with you all this morning. And so with that thought, may I request everyone to open our Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 4. The scriptures tell us, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Let's talk about the book of Hebrews for a bit, dearly beloved. Let's discover the title. One author said this: when the various New Testament books were formally brought together into one collection shortly after AD 100, the titles were added for convenience. This epistle's letter bears the traditional Greek title to the Hebrews, which was attested by at least the 2nd century AD. Within the epistle itself, dearly beloved, the author continues, however, there is no identification of the recipients as either Hebrews or Jews or Gentiles. Since the epistle is filled with references to Hebrew history and religion and does not address any particular Gentile or pagan practice, the traditional title has been maintained. The second we learn about this book, the book of Hebrews, not only the title, but also the author. The author of this book is shrouded in mystery. We really do not know who wrote the book. The book doesn't tell us. But biblical scholars suggest that maybe it was Paul or Luke or Barnabas or Apollos or Philip or Priscilla or Aquila or even Clement of Rome who wrote the book. But as one pastor notes, the unknown authorship of this book should not shake our confidence in its authority. Hebrews makes important theological contribution to the biblical canon. It has been drawn upon as sacred scripture since the late 1st century. And Christians have for 2 millennia consistently upheld the divine inspiration and therefore the canonicity of the book of Hebrews. Then we discover the recipients. As we said a while ago, we really do not know the author and also the recipients. Hebrews does not reveal who the recipients of this letter were. Were they Jews or were they Gentiles? We really do not know. But this is not a disadvantage. Rather, dearly beloved, this is an invitation that the book is for everyone to read and obey. Next is the date of writing. The date of writing. Hebrews mentions that Timothy had just been released from prison. You see that in chapter 13, verse 23. And that persecution was becoming severe. You see that in chapter 10, verses 32 to 39, chapter 12, verse 4, and chapter 13, verse 3. Plus, the book does not mention the destruction of the temple in AD 70, which was a very important event at that time. These and more suggest that the book was most probably written around 67 to 69 AD, just about 30 years after Jesus Christ ascended to heaven. Now let's go to the theme. One author said this: throughout its pages, Hebrews makes clear that Jesus Christ exceeds all the other people, pursuits, objects, or hopes to which human beings offer allegiance. Hebrews pictures Jesus as better than the angels, as bringing better lives to humanity through salvation, as offering a better hope than the Mosaic law could promise, as a better sacrifice for our sins than a bull or a goat. and as providing a better inheritance in heaven for those who place their faith in Him. Dearly beloved, indeed, the central theme of the book is this: Jesus is superior to all others. And so as we discover the book of Hebrews now, and as we're going to dive now into the passage, let's ask first the Lord for wisdom and guidance. Let's pray together. Please join me. Father God, we thank You for Your scriptures, for this holy word You have given to us. Yes, Lord, it's ancient, and yet it is also very relevant and applicable for us today. Thank You that its themes and truths and teachings are everlasting. And I pray that today, whether we are young or old, we will love it, we will appreciate it, we will listen to it, and we will obey it. Guide our thoughts now, O Lord, into Your word. O dear Spirit, teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. For us to understand our lives in the Lord Jesus Christ and to live it for His glory, the Word of God gives us several simple analogies or pictures about it. The Christian life, as what Paul would tell us in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, is like boxing. You know, punching. Like, I don't know if you know Manny Pacquiao. We are so proud of him as Filipinos. He is a famous boxer and truly a successful one. But, you know, the scriptures tells us that our Christian life is like a boxing match. Paul tells us his words: thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So see, the Apostle Paul tells us that this Christian life is like a boxing match. We need to be disciplined. That's what I believe Manny Pacquiao does all the time. He disciplines his body so that he would win all of those medals and accolades. And he did. And he still continued to do so. The Christian life is like that. We need to be disciplined like a boxer. Another example of an analogy to a Christian life is the Christian life is like a vineyard. Now we go to John 15 for this. Jesus tells us that a Christian who abides in Christ will be a fruitful vine. That's a good analogy. We abide in Christ, and when we do that, our lives will become fruitful, like a vine that attaches itself to the true vine. The third simple analogy of the scriptures about the Christian life is that the Christian life is like a war. To win the battle, to win the spiritual battle, we must think and act like a prepared soldier. We must take the whole armor of God, as spoken of in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. We must wear it so that we can be ready in any battle in this life. Because truly, we are not battling against flesh and blood, but against things we do not see, principalities and powers of the darkness of this world. It's a wonderful analogy. But you know, one of my favorite analogies in the scriptures about the Christian life is that the Christian life is like a race. It's like a marathon. That's why this morning, the title of our sermon is The Amazing Race of Faith. Indeed, the Christian life is like a race. We are all running in this race called the race of faith. Today's sermon is part one only, and I hope next time we can tackle part two. We have before us five principles of running this amazing race of faith with the aim to win and with the aim to glorify God. But this morning, we will only discuss two principles, and hopefully next time we will tackle head on the last three. So here are the two principles of running the amazing race of faith. The first is, if you go back to the passage which we have just read, it says there in verse number 1, therefore seeing we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Let's pause there. Since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, this is where we get our first point. The first principle of running this amazing race of faith is this: listen to the witnesses. Listen to the witnesses. Here, the scriptures is giving us an opportunity to see a picture. Imagine with me here that you are running your race inside a stadium packed with hundreds or even thousands of spectators, thousands of people on the stands, and they are cheering you on. And this is exactly the picture of this part of verse number one. This is the point of the verse. And it tells us here that there is a great cloud, meaning there's a lot, myriad. The word cloud denotes a lot. Okay? And the witnesses here, the word witnesses comes from the Greek word martus. This is where we get our English word martyr, which means one who died for the sake of the truth. That's the word martyr. And of course, we know that in the scriptures we find several martyrs. Stephen was one. Jesus Christ, of course, is our best example of this, who died for the truth. Now, let me ask this question. Who are these witnesses that the writer of Hebrews tells us about? Who are these witnesses that are so great a cloud of? They are the people of faith listed in chapter 11, who have gone before us but lived a life of faith just like we are living today. If you go to chapter 11 of Hebrews, you will see very familiar names there. We see the name of Abel, we see the name of Enoch, we see the name of Noah, we see there Abraham and Gideon and David and so on and so forth. Famous, heroic people of the faith from the Old Testament. But, dearly beloved, do not miss out also that there, in that very chapter, are people including who were not specifically named. But, verses 33 to 38 tells us this. They are the people who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weaknesses were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. Yes, dearly beloved, chapter 11 includes a lot of people we know from the Old Testament, but it also includes a lot of people we do not know, but who ran their race of faith faithfully. That's why chapter 11 is rightly called the Great Hall of Faith. Now, what are these witnesses saying? What are they saying? To answer this question, we must go back to Hebrews chapter 11 and discover a repeated phrase which appears 16 times. Can you discover with me what that phrase is? Go back to chapter 11 and just scan quickly. What is that phrase that you will see in your Bible in chapter 11 that repeats itself 16 times? Have you found it? What is it? If you said, by faith, you're right. That's exactly the phrase that we're looking for. By faith. You see, as we are running our race today, these cloud of witnesses are telling us an important principle to live by. And what is that principle? The principle is this. The only way to run the race of the Christian life is by faith. Again, the only way to run the race of the Christian life is by faith. Now, what is faith? I know you have used this word a lot of times before. We in the Christian community, we as a church always throws this word everywhere. But what is really the meaning of faith here that Hebrews chapter 11 is trying to tell us? Well, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 gives us a powerful definition of faith. It tells us here now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That is faith. It says, now faith is the substance or the realization of things hoped for. You haven't gotten it yet, but you're hoping for it, and you know it will be realized. It continues, the evidence or the confidence of things not seen. Even though you haven't seen it, but you know it's true. Why? Because of faith. That's faith. And verse 3 gives us an illustration. Verse 3 says, By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Verse 3 tells us that many years ago, the worlds here were framed only by the word of God. Now, not one of us were there during that time, right? When God was there. When Genesis chapter 1 happened, we were not there. When God created everything out of nothing in 6 literal 24-hour days. But we believe it. I believe it. I hope you believe it. I hope the word of God tells us that God created everything out of nothing. Ex nihilo. We believe it. And that is faith, dearly beloved. You take God at His word. So the cloud of witnesses here that surround us are shouting at us, keep on running. Keep on running your race of faith. Be faithful. Have faith in God. Believe God's word and His promises. Dearly beloved, that's their testimony today to us. Abraham did this too. Verse 8 tells us, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. That's faith, dearly beloved. When God told him to go, even though he did not specifically know where he was going, he went. He brought his family with him. He brought everything that he had with him. In other words, dearly beloved, he burned his bridges behind him. That's faith. And he obeyed the Lord. He trusted God fully, that God knows where He is leading him and God knows what He is doing in his life. The Bible tells us in 3 separate occasions, the righteous or the just shall live by faith. Romans chapter 1:17, Galatians chapter 3 verse 11, Hebrews chapter 10 verse 38. We Christians, the just here or the righteous here that's named here, must live our lives by faith. That is the way to run our race. You know why, dearly beloved? Hebrews 11 tells us, for without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Without faith, we will never please our God. So maybe the question this morning is this to all of you. To all of us, do you want to please God? Maybe I'm talking to teenagers. Maybe I'm talking to married men and married women. Maybe I'm talking to single men and women. Maybe I'm talking here this morning to our senior saints. Do you want to please God? Is that your desire? And so the challenge for you, if your answer is yes, is this. You need to continue your run in your Christian life by faith. That's the only way on how you can please our God. We must listen to the cloud of witnesses. They're cheering us on right now. Run the race by trusting God every step you make. Whether it's uphill, whether it's downhill, whether storms are coming, whether problems surround us, whether there are discouragements around us, you need to keep running. And as you run, says the cloud of witnesses, run by faith. Trust God. He will lead you each step along the way. So that's the first principle here that we can learn from Hebrews chapter 12. As we run our race, listen to the witnesses, the cloud of witnesses. When I was in high school, I tried out for the volleyball varsity team of our school. In the very first tryout, we were instructed to run around the university campus 5 times. Now, I did not know a lot of people then. I was a freshman. And so I was very cautious of leaving my stuff around. You know, you'll never know if the security is there or if it's safe or not. And so I decided that since, you know, it's 5 rounds and I might be away for some time, I just want to bring my bag with me. So I ran with my bag on, my backpack, my JanSport bag on my back, 5 times around the university campus. And dearly beloved, it did not take a long time for me to realize that it was a bad idea. Very bad idea. It weighed me down. It slowed me down. Plus, of course, it got wet because of my sweat. Not a really good idea to carry a backpack with you filled with books and other stuff for school when you are running. And this is where we jump into our second point. Our second principle is lay aside every weight. Lay aside every weight. Look at verse number 1 again. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance or every weight. That is the second principle. Lay aside the weight. As we're running this amazing race of faith, we need to take off and throw away those weight. Now, when you run a marathon, or any race for that matter, you want to be as light as possible. Serious runners, serious athletes, consider this as a major rule. You see them. Their clothes are totally light. Short-sleeved and very short shorts. And the material is so light, so thin. And their shoes, very light as well. And they do not bring anything with them that will weigh them down or slow them down. They just maybe carry a very small mechanism, their device where they can listen to some music to keep their pacing, but that's again a very small, very tiny device which can never weigh them down. Dearly beloved, the same principle applies to us today as Christians as we run this race of faith. That is why we are told here to lay aside, and that phrase lay aside means to put away, to cast off. And we're told here to lay aside every weight. Now, notice the word every. Every. We are not told here to lay aside some weight or to lay aside a few kind of pounds of weight. No. We're told to lay aside every weight. In other words, all the things that will weigh us down, you throw it away. Don't carry it with you as you run your race of faith. Church, there are things that are hindrances. There are things that are encumbrances. There are things that are weights that weigh us down, that weigh us or slow us down in our run. They will not help us to effectively run a race of faith that God has set for us. We need to lay them aside. And the first weight that I want to emphasize are sins. Sin is a hindrance. our disobedience to God's commands from the scriptures is a hindrance. Sin is a wedge between us and God. It will not help us as we run our race of faith. You see, sin affects how we think. Sin affects how we act. Sin affects how we live. Sin affects our run as God's children. And most importantly, sin affects our relationship with God. And the effect of sin is never positive. Sin never helps us in our run. Sin will never make us run more effectively. The opposite is true. Sin will weigh us down. Sin will slow us down. Sin will really take a toll on our Christian lives. Because sin is an offense to God. So we should never keep on carrying sin in our lives, dear beloved. The Lord Jesus Christ defeated sin and the cross. And the Word of God tells us that we have the power of the Holy Spirit to say no to sin. And we do not need to carry sin in our lives today. You know, for a long time, and you know my story about my father from last time's sermon. For a long time in my teen years, my unforgiving spirit was my weight. That was the sin that really was there just in my life. And I chose to carry it. Because I thought it was the only thing that I can have against my father. I was never open to forgiving my dad. For me, it was a very hard thing to do. Almost next to impossibility. I harbored that hatred and bitterness. Thankfully, God used my family to teach me forgiveness. They did not shy away from regularly talking to me about my situation. They would ask me questions like, do you miss your dad? Or are you angry at your dad? Or have you forgiven your dad? And they would encourage me from the scriptures that I must learn to forgive. That no matter what happens, he is my father. No matter what he did, nothing can change that he is my dad. And little by little, the Lord worked in my heart. Especially that he reminds me that I must forgive because I was also forgiven by him. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Forgive as Christ has forgiven you. And dearly beloved, with the working of the Holy Spirit, the wall of my unforgiving heart crumbled at the grace that I found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? Let me testify before you today that after that unforgiving heart was destroyed by the grace of God, that weight was thrown away, was laid aside, my run became lighter. The race that I'm on became faster. That is the blessing of laying aside every weight, dearly beloved. We all need to lay aside sins that weigh us down in our run of faith. And God encourages us that when we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can run light in this life, dearly beloved. You don't need to tell yourself, oh, I need to have this sin because I need this. No. It will destroy you. It will render you slow. Lay them aside, dearly beloved. Maybe there's sin of envy in your life. Maybe there's sin of lust in your life. Maybe there's sin of anger, of bitterness. Maybe there's sin of jealousy. There's sin of a lot of things that Satan, from his temptations, are throwing at you. I hope you realize today that you need to lay them aside. Throw them away and run the race of faith. But dearly beloved, you know, there are also other things that can be a hindrance, an encumbrance, a weight in our lives. Not necessarily sin. Not necessarily just sin. It can be a desire. It can be a habit. It can be a relationship. It can be a loyalty. It can be a dream. Or maybe a plan. Perhaps it is something you label innocently or defend as a simple pastime. But you know personally that in your Christian life, it is weighing you down. Now, in my sophomore year in high school, I was invited to help in the kids' outreach ministry of the church every Saturday. I was so excited to teach the kids. I was excited to help the ministry and to be used by God to reach these kids out with the Word of God. But Saturdays were also the days when I and my high school friends would go out and hang out at the mall. And of course, it's not necessarily bad to hang out with friends on Saturday at the mall. But I realized that if I hang out with them, I will not be able to serve the Lord in that capacity. I will need to choose. Should I just hang out with them? Or should I just serve the Lord, teaching kids, reaching the kids with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Of course, with God's help and the encouragement of our church leaders, I chose to serve the Lord in reaching out the kids with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends started to drift away because I didn't spend time with them anymore. I tried to reach out in other ways, but it did not help. It saddened my heart. But, dearly beloved, looking back, I can tell you today, it's all worth it. Plus, God gave me Christian friends who served with me in reaching the boys and the girls with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have become my most precious friends even until now. And this, and maybe in your life you also have other examples of things that can be a hindrance in your run of faith. And so may I ask you this morning, do you have any weight in you which slows you down in your race of faith? Again, maybe not sin, but we need to really, with wisdom, ask the Lord for wisdom and discernment to see your life as a whole. To evaluate your life and see, is there anything I need to lay aside for the sake of the race of faith? Maybe I'm talking to teenagers right now. You are just starting your race of faith and there's a lot of things going on and there's a lot of struggle onto what to do and what not to do, and you need to realize that you need to run your faith, your race of faith. For the glory of God, you need to choose to lay aside the things that will stop you. Maybe I'm talking to adults here, maybe singles or married couples, and there are a lot of things to consider in life. Jobs and your ministry at church and your personal walk with the Lord, your dreams, your aspirations. Ask the Lord to show you things that still weigh you down and slow you down so that you, by God's grace, can lay them aside. I may be also talking to senior saints this morning. And you might also have a lot of things that you need to consider. Maybe the Lord will show you that there are things that hinders you in your effective and God-glorifying run. I pray that all of us this morning will be able to see those things so that we can truly abide by this principle to lay aside every weight. It is my prayer that all of us will run light. And I don't know this morning, as I end this message, I don't know, maybe some of you are running your race, but it's been tough. It's been an uphill battle. It's been a lot of downs maybe and ups maybe. Maybe you're going through some really difficult time in your life as a Christian. I hope that this song I'm going to sing would encourage you to press on. In Jesus' name, my brother, my sister, press on. When the mountain is steep, when the valley is deep, I hope you press on. Never give up. Keep on running. Keep on running by faith.
Press on.
my beloved in the Lord, please join me as we end this message with a prayer. Father God, we thank you for the encouragement from your word today. Indeed, O Lord, you have given us everything that we need so that we can press on in our race, in our run, in this marathon of faith that we're going through. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the principles that we must listen to our witnesses and we must lay aside every weight. I pray, O Lord, that today your people will have that resolution in their hearts to faithfully run a race for your glory and for the sake of the gospel ministry you have for us individually as a church. I also pray, O Lord, that we will have in our minds the next generation. The next generation who will also look up to us and see us as their witnesses as we tell them to press on in their races. I pray, O Lord, that Central Mountains Baptist Church will truly be full of saints who will run faithfully until you take us home. Bless, Lord, Pastor Wayne and the rest of our brothers and sisters leading the church. I pray, O God, that we will all be found faithful, surrendered, and committed for the sake of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. All this we commit and pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen.